I'm not doing anything till I'm introduced. I'm sorry, it's my rule. No, there we are. Good morning. Good morning. It's lovely to be back here in this church building this morning here in Newport and Tay, but it's lovely to be here especially for this joint service between Newport and Tay, Balmerino and Wermit, and Creech, Frisk and Kilmeny. It is lovely to be here with you on a what I suppose we're clinging to the vain hope is still a fine, fresh autumn morning, but it's getting more and more wintry every day. As I got on the roads this morning, I see the gritters had been out, so there we are. I can't really see very well. Oh, we've got a young man at the back. Good morning to you as well. Good. You've just saved the day, by the way, in a way you don't understand yet, but we'll be talking to you in a, talking to you in a moment. Usually there's more young people here, at about, you know, a good collection. But all under 30s will count as children this morning. Actually, all under 80s, to be honest. Anyway, it is good to be here. I'm not here alone. I'm here with Gail Lennon this morning, who's the Fife Presbytery Implementation Officer for the Presbytery Plan. We are here to worship God, but also if you want to have a chat with Gail about anything about how things are going, then she's very happy to do that after the service at coffee. Sadly, this morning, I have got an appointment this afternoon, preaching appointment, Dunblane, and I will have to leave almost immediately the service is done. So would you please put my cakes and biscuits in a bag, and I'll take them with me. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Hang on to that. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Let's sing to God's praise and glory. The first of our hymns, it's a psalm. Of course, it's Psalm 23. But we're not singing it to Crimond, we're singing it to Wiltshire. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. Put your books down, you know the words. Heads up, sing out. Let's praise God.
Good morning. I've just been told I'm not here in my usual way, but I'm actually here as interim moderator of Chief Pliskin Kilmeny, and it is a joy to be in that position. Blessed are those whose hearts are pure, for they shall see God. Let us pray. Almighty and most wonderful God, unsearchable and inexhaustible, greater than we can ever imagine, higher than our highest thoughts, enthroned in glory and in splendor, we come to give you our worship, to offer our praise, and to make our confessions, recognizing in our confessions that our ways are not your ways, and your thoughts are not our thoughts. Forgive us our misplaced pride and arrogance. We have been full of our own importance, preferring our ways to your ways, imagining that we know all there is to know about you, trusting in our own wisdom instead of your guidance, setting ourselves up in your place. But your ways are not our ways, and your thoughts are not our thoughts. Forgive us our narrow vision and closed minds. We have tied you down to our own understanding, closed our hearts to anything which challenges our restricted horizons, losing sight of your greatness, failing to listen to your voice or the voice of others, refusing to believe that others besides ourselves have insights to share. But your ways are not our ways, and your thoughts are not our thoughts. Almighty and most wonderful God, remind us that you have always more to say, more to reveal, and more to do. Open our eyes, our minds, and our hearts to who and what you are. Remind us that your ways are not our ways, and your thoughts are not our thoughts. Lord, have mercy upon us. And so, fill us with awe and wonder, joy and thanksgiving, praise and worship, as we join together and say the prayer your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We always use trespasses because in Newport, nobody mentions debt. Our next hymn is from Mission Praise, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less.
Jesus, love and righteousness.
Love that hymn. Marvellous hymn. Now, we're going to have to sort of draft in some children today. Hands up if you're under 25. Okay, before you come, that'll be enough. Just check the choir. Any of the gentlemen? Aye, Bill, that'll be right. Come forward, there we go. Good. What's your name?
Lizzie.
Lizzie. And your name?
Ted.
Ted. Good, Lizzie and Ted. Now, Lizzie and Ted, I'm going on holiday soon, and I'm very excited about it. When I say soon, I'm talking about March, but I believe in being prepared early. So I've packed my case. See that case over there? I've packed my case with all the things I'm going to need on my holiday. You can put your coat down, you're going to need both your hands, okay? Here we go. Now, first thing I'm going to need is a bigger case because I'm taking my piano on holiday because I like music. So I'm going to need the piano, okay? All agreed? I'm going to need the piano. Really? All agreed? Okay. Put that there, piano. I can't play it, but I'm hoping that Brian will come with me and then that'll be okay. Here's the case. So this is full of stuff that I'm going to need on my holiday. Ooh. And it's underweight, because if you bring your case overweight to the airport now, the nice man at Ryanair charges you another £60. I mean, he's already charging you an extra pound to land the plane at the airport, so... You ready for the excitement in here, Ted? This is going to be... You're going to be excited by this. The things that are in here that I need my holiday. What's the first thing you need to take on your holiday?
Passport?
No. That's not right. Teddy bear. Obviously. You may be entrusted with Hopalong, as he's now called. That teddy bear, by the way, is 67 years old.
I won't drop it.
You won't drop it? No, you won't. I mean, he's been terribly abused over the 67 years. I can't remember how we lost his leg, but there we go. That teddy bear was sent to me by my grandmother when I was born, and since I was born in New Zealand, as some of you will remember, it had to come all the way. You're all right, Hopalong. Didn't used to be called Hopalong. That's a new thing. Next thing I've got, and I need this on my holiday, is a pencil sharpener. Okay?
Question. Why?
Why? Because there's nothing worse than a blunt pencil. A blunt pencil is useless. So you need to... Well, actually, I haven't got a pencil. You spotted the flaw. I should have put a pencil in as well, but I didn't. Okay? Next thing I've got, if anybody sends me a letter on holiday, I've got a nice letter opener. It's very nice, this. It was actually presented to me by somebody, I can't remember who, but it's for opening letters. So I'm obviously going to need that in case somebody writes a letter to me on holiday. Okay? You can put the pencil sharpener down, Ted, because I'm going to give you another item in a moment. Now, what we all need, oh, a light bulb, in case there's a light bulb missing in the hotel. You take that. We're also going to need... Can't take the kitchen sink, but we can take a pan with us in case we have to cook our own baked beans. So that's that. There's a... Why would I need that?
In case it's hot?
Well, in case it's cold, really. I'm a Scotsman, and I'm going somewhere I don't know, so I've got to wear my bonnet. If I don't wear a bonnet...
Exact hat.
You have that exact hat?
Yeah, my granddad gave it to me.
Your granddad gave it to you? Not the way to make friends and influence people, but go on. Now, it's March, so by March, Lizzie, my hair might be longer. So I'm just going to take my curling tongs as well. Just take them with me. They will also, and this is important, they will also remind me of my wife, who, even as I speak, is looking for them. One of the most terrible things that happens to you is when you go on holiday and you come back, and you think, where did I put the remote control? You can never remember where you put it. You spend hours hunting for it. So I brought both of them with me. So I need that on holiday, obviously, so I need it when I get back. What else do I need? Oh, yes. This is my favorite plate. Hangs on the wall. It's a picture of my last parish church that I was minister of. So obviously I'm going to need that to remind me of my parish church, okay? Tully Allen and Kincardine Parish Church. Tesco bag, don't need that. And on the same kind of way, thank you, Ted, what else I'm going to need, obviously, to remind me of my granddaughter is my favourite mug. What does that say?
Papa.
Papa, yes, because I have the world's most beautiful granddaughter. Sorry, you're just going to have to get over it, folks. Okay? What else do you need on holiday?
Pictures.
Sun cream.
Money.
I tan very naturally. Sorry?
Passports.
You keep mentioning passports. Did you say money? Splendid. Now, we used to have to go and get traveler's checks, but we don't do that anymore. We just use a card. But you've got to remind yourself that you need money. So this is a Royal Bank of Scotland £5 note encased in Perspex so that if it's stolen, the thief can't spend it.
What if they break it open?
You can't break that open. Trust me, I've tried. I've come to days when I thought, I'm going to need that money. And finally, just to remind me of home at all times, I'm going to need to connect with home. Do you agree, Lizzie?
Yes.
Yes? So I've got a tin of haggis, because you can't get that in Spain. So that is what I need when I go on holiday. Agree? What's wrong? Go on, spit it out. What, sorry? Practical. What do you mean?
So, what about what you're going to wear? And, you know, if you're going to Spain, it's fair that you may get slightly sunburned if you don't bring sun cream or a hat or sunglasses.
Brought a hat. Brought a bonnet. But this is the stuff I need. Is this not the stuff I need? Or is this... Is it perhaps not the stuff I need?
It's probably what you want.
Ah! High five. You don't get one. You're absolutely right. This is not the stuff I need, apart from hop along, obviously. This is not the... Just sit there. Sorry? No, you're not going to have to go back in the case. Don't worry. Here we go. It's not the stuff I need. Actually... I don't need a pencil sharpener. I've got a pencil. Yeah. Although I'm right, isn't it? Blunt pencil's useless. If the light goes off, presumably somebody there will have a light bulb. And I certainly don't need the curling tongs, except that it means that my wife and I are going to have a conversation later on today. This is not what I need. This is what I want. When we provide for ourselves, we go after what we want ourselves, we don't get the things we need, we get the things we want. When we allow God to provide for us, we don't get the things we want, we get the things we need. And actually, I'm going to have a far better holiday in Spain, and by the way, there will be a retiring offering for that purpose. I'll get a far better holiday in Spain if I take the things I need rather than the things I want. I'm not going to get half of this past security. Without them, you know, having a very serious long look at me and maybe suggesting that I need to go and see someone. God's provision is not what we want, it's what we need. And the sooner we learn that lesson in life, the more in line with God and the happier and more satisfied we will actually be. Not what you want, it's what you need. And God provides everything we need, even two willing volunteers, when the normal 84 children who are sitting here are not available. So I want to thank you both. You get a high five. And you get another one. And you'll get a round of applause to the congregation as you go back. Thanks very much. We're going to praise God on the trumpet now, I think, are we? Praise Him on the trumpet. I can't remember what the name of the hymn is. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord with the sound of trumpet. Do you know this hymn? Well, it's a really easy hymn, okay? But the most important thing is it's fun. Go, praise the Lord with the sound of trumpet. Praise the Lord with the harp and lute. Praise the Lord with a gentle sounding flute. And then the organist is going to go, boom, boom, boom. Praise the Lord in the... Were you planning to play it at that speed, or have I just set you a terrible challenge? I probably have. Anyway, it's a great, great song. By the time you get to the second verse, you'll love it. You'll want it every week. Praise the Lord with the sound of trumpet. And don't stand still. Feel it, okay? You've got to feel this music. Thank you, Brian. Good, didn't I? Thank you.
Wonderful children's address. I'm sure we all enjoyed it. A lesson for us all, surely. Thank you. The first reading this morning is from Exodus 35, reading from verses 1 to 3, and then from verses 20 to 29. You'll find that on page 94 in the Pew Bibles. Moses assembled the whole Israelite community and said to them, These are the things that the Lord has commanded you to do. For 6 days, work is to be done. But the seventh day shall be your holy day, a day of the Sabbath, rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it is to be put to death. Do not light a fire in any of your dwellings on the Sabbath day. The whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved him came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work of the tent of the meeting, for all its service and for the sacred garments. All who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold jewelry of all kinds, brooches, earrings, rings, and ornaments. They all presented their gold as a wave offering to the Lord. Everyone who had blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, or fine linen, or goat hair, ram skins dyed red, or hides of sea cows brought them. Those presenting an offering of silver or bronze brought it as an offering to the Lord. And everyone who had acacia wood for any part of the work brought it. Every skilled woman spun with her hands and brought what she had spun. Blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, or fine linen. And all the women who were willing and had the skill spun the goat hair. The leaders brought onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastplate. They also brought spices and olive oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. All the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord freewill offerings for all the work the Lord, through Moses, had commanded them to do. Amen.
The second reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 28, reading verses 16 to 20. And this can be found on page 1001 of the Pew Bibles. The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Amen. Our next hymn is number 565, "My Life Goes On in Endless Song."
Thank you.
Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our God and our Redeemer. Amen. I was talking, as you know, to the children earlier on, children, young adults, who I noticed went out, two of them went out with about 18 leaders. You're going to have to examine that ratio very carefully. But anyway, oh, I'll be a youth leader. Anyway, I was talking to them about where you pack when you go on a holiday. You take what you need, not what you want. Especially too nowadays, as they get more and more fussy, as I was saying, about the size of the case. I've seen quite a lot of videos recently, you know, on the YouTube or Facebook, as they spin round of people actually at airports breaking the wheels off their cases so they can fit into the sizing baskets. And one of the things that always amuses me about this is that they complain as though they hadn't been told exactly what size of case. We were in, I'll tell you the story, I haven't written it down here, but it's just such a good story. We're in Salou Airport coming home from a holiday one time, and there was a frightful fracas between the check-in lady and a family from Glasgow who had a huge parcel wrapped up in bin liners and taped up. And it was about that big. And I don't know what it was, whether it was a surfboard or something of that nature. And they were laying down that law, you know, Scottish fashion. Listen, we are entitled to hand luggage. We brought this out as hand luggage. We're taking it home as hand luggage. And she's going, no, you're not. You'll pay £60 for this. I'm no pain. And it got pretty heated until one of these olive-clad Spanish policemen started sauntering on just with his hand playing across the top of the gun. All right, pal. Okay, pal, no problem. As they were walking across to the window to pay their extra, just as they were passing us, the man turned to the woman and said, I don't ever... Every year, the same thing. I've redacted some of the more juicy vocabulary there. Every year, the same thing. Yes, these are the rules, follow them. Anyway, you see these people breaking the wheels off the bottoms of their cases so they can get them into the sizing basket. The striking thing about this passage from Exodus, which is one which you will very rarely hear read in church or preached upon, the striking thing about it is they're supplying the raw materials for making the tent of the presence. Now, this is the kind of tent, canvas tent, well, it's not canvas as we know, that's going to pinch hit for the temple until they get the temple built, which they're not going to get built, by the way, for another 400 years. So this is where the Ark of the Covenant and the presence of God is going to be, in this tent. And they've been asked to bring, and what a collection of stuff they bring. What a collection of stuff the children of Israel had taken with them out of Egypt. We kind of get this picture in our minds, don't we, that they're all huddled there with their backpacks ready to go, but it's not how it happened. It's not what the Bible says. They left after the Passover, and the people of Egypt were so desperate for this scourge and source of plagues to be gone from among them that they practically threw money at them to get out of the country. They were told by Moses, and you can read this in Exodus chapter 12, they were told by Moses to ask for money and goods when they left the country. And so in verse 36 in the Good News Bible it says, the Lord made the Egyptians respect the people and give them what they asked for. In this way, the Israelites carried away the wealth of the Egyptians. That's one of the reasons why the Pharaoh chased them to the Red Sea, because they wanted their money back. They'd been, you know, they'd been swindled, they'd been done, they'd been had. So when we get to chapter 35, we're amazed to find some of the things that these fleeing slaves had taken with them. They came, they brought gold jewelry, brooches, earrings, rings and ornaments, gold. Everyone who had blue, purple or scarlet yarn of fine linen, purple's a very valuable cloth always, because it's a very expensive dye that's used to make it purple. Goat hair, ramskins, dyed red, or other durable leather bought them. Silver, bronze, acacia wood. You know, bits of wood. They brought that because acacia wood was a valuable thing to work with. Onyx stones, other gems, and spices and olive oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. They handed this over. They'd hauled this booty hundreds of miles already, and they were going to haul it thousands of miles further, and for 40 years they were going to haul of this stuff with them as they moved around the desert. It was a mobile temple, a tent complex, an enormous, rich, and wonderful thing. The tabernacle served as the focal point for worship, reminding the Israelites that God was with them and symbolized the place where the divine and earthly realms met. It was a thing that stuck in the middle of the camp. The first thing they did when they arrived was set up this tent of the presence. It was used for 40 years as they wandered through the wilderness, and it was used until Solomon built the temple about 440 years later. You'll remember that in Judaism, God is everywhere on earth and is a command everywhere, but actually lives in the temple. That's where his presence is, or the tabernacle. That's the significance of that moment in the story of the crucifixion when the curtain is rent in two, because the division that had seemed to exist to people between God and the people was rent. Now God is with his people. Emmanuel. It's the great name of Christ. A few weeks' time we'll be singing, Bob, in about 3 or 4 weeks' time, O come, Emmanuel, God with us. God, I love that name for Jesus, God with us. That, of course, was the temple that Herod built later on, hugely wealthily decorated as well. When that temple was finally destroyed, the last one to be destroyed, the Roman Colosseum, it was General Titus who became Emperor Titus who did it in 70 AD, and built the Roman Colosseum on the basis of the money that he took from the Jewish temple. That's how rich and glorious this temple was. By the way, he also used Jews as slaves during the building of it. We've tended to do the same in our churches. 3 years ago, my wife and I walked the Camino de Santiago de Compostela, and even small parish churches in the north of Spain had incredibly rich, beautiful decoration. Lots of gold leaf. I mean, you'd walk into a small, like a crumbling church, you might almost suppose from the outside that it was a ruin, and you walk inside, and suddenly there's altarpiece in pure gold. Amazing. That, of course, dates from the time when Spain was the world's big imperial power and was pulling this gold by the bucket load, by the shipload, out of South and Central America. Cathedrals are museums of conspicuous wealth being used to glorify God. Glorify also, and this can be a problem sometimes, glorify also the people who made the donation. I will give you the money for this magnificent window. Just make sure that my name is quite large and prominent in the display. One of the triggers of the Protestant Reformation was the activities of priests who sold indulgences, that is, pardons for sins, in order to fund the building of great projects. Johann Tetzel is the most famous of these because he's the one who offended Martin Luther by going and selling forgiveness for sins. He sold these indulgences, these forgiveness for sins, in order that the Basilica of St. Peter's could be built in Rome. No, says Luther, this is not the way you are saved. God is not interested in your wealth. The only way you can be saved is by the grace of God freely given on the cross and not something you can buy. Freely, freely we have received, freely give. Our own Protestant churches, as a result, were much barer, more sparse, more austere. We saw this wealth as a distraction bordering on idolatry. We didn't do stained glass. One of the two reasons we didn't do stained glass, we didn't like the idea originally that stained glass was depicting. We were very suspicious of depictions of Christ. But also you needed more light in because people were expected to be able to read the Bible. But people do genuinely want to build beautiful things for God. Even in our more austere Presbyterian tradition, we want to build beautiful churches. Dare I say, like this one. Glorious, beautiful church. But here's the thing. God will not be kept as a captive of our wishes, of what we think we want. He He won't be held captive by that. Of our ideas of how we honor him, the temple curtain is torn in two, and Emmanuel is God with us. You'll know that Jesus had seven I am sayings in the Gospel of John. I am the bread of life, the light of the world, the door of the sheep, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life, and the true vine. These are the I am sayings. These declarations reveal Jesus' identity, a saving relationship with humanity. But for me, the greatest of Jesus' I am sayings is not in John's Gospel, it's in Matthew's Gospel. I am with you to the end of the age. What a promise that is. I am with you always. For the children of Israel in their four-decade-long journey through the wilderness, the tabernacle was the way they reminded themselves that God was with them. But we need no such reminder because we live in the promise of Jesus. He does not ask for gold and silver and fine cloth and acacia wood. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto you. Jesus wants us to give him our lives, then go in his name and do his mission. That means we've got to bring something to him. But our sacrifice now may well be our beautiful sanctuaries, which our ancestors dedicated to God, our temples, the place where God lives, our Emmanuel God, our God with us. The places he lives are soup kitchens, food banks, women's refuges, the warm spaces for people to come when they cannot afford their heating, the welcome centers for desperate migrants who, like the Israelites, walk with only what they can carry. The playgroups where children learn and anxious, tired mothers can rest. The care homes, our own homes where the stranger is welcomed and fed. The way stations on the pilgrim way. The hope chests where furniture we've grown tired of furnishes a house where poor families can enjoy the comfort. The uniform exchanges that eke out the budgets of young couples who cannot make ends meet, even to the point of buying the next size up for that laddie who's growing so fast that they can't keep up with the clothes. Remember that? I am with you, says Jesus. The call to the children of Israel was to give up all they were carrying to build a place for God. Our call is not so very different when you think about it in those terms. But we're being asked to give up something different. To give up this assumption that we can contain God in our buildings and in our memories and in our traditions. God is with us. He will not be contained. In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to sing the next hymn, Who Would True Valor See? And you'll see that the words of this are printed on the back of the sheet. Don't use the ones that are in the hymn book. The same ones will come up on the screen. If you're sitting in a seat now where the sun is really blinding you, move to another seat. Nobody's going to think ill of you because you sat down there. Move to another seat because it looks very uncomfortable to be sitting blinded like that. Just move along the row or something. Anyway, let's sing Who Would True Valor See?
Thank you.
think at this point we're bringing the offering forward, is that right? And I've probably left my suitcase on the place that you want to put it. No? Okay. We'll sing the doxology, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. To you, part of that great bounty you've bestowed upon us. Thank you for your generosity to us in everything that we need. Take these, our offerings, and bless them for thy use in this community and further afield. In Jesus' name, amen. Our prayers of intercession are being led by Jan Winch from Balmerino and Werbert.
Let us pray. As we look back over the past week of remembrance, loving God, we thank you for those who came before us, who faced war and hardship with courage and sacrifice. Though some of us remember through lived experience, our younger generation may only learn through stories. Help us all never to forget the price they paid for our freedom. May the memory continue to inspire gratitude and peace in our hearts. We see conflict and division still continuing in the world, in Ukraine, the Middle East, and other distant countries. We seek peace and healing. Where there is violence in word and action, may it cease in the senseless attacks and killings of those perceived to be different or a threat. We cry out for mercy and grace, for love to prevail and win out over death and destruction. We pray for all creation, where there is famine, drought, or devastation caused by freak storms, where crops have failed or sources of food and substances been damaged, destroyed, or cut off. We ask for provision and abundance where there is scarcity in the midst of climbing global temperatures that would melt ice caps and irreparably damage habitat, as we see plastics of pollution in the oceans and water sources. Will you help us, O God, to live more responsibly, that we might work with you and the other nations coming together to COP30 in Brazil at this time? Guide them in the decisions they make and give them power to lead others into the best way forward to save this wonderful world you have created. We ask your blessing on our leaders and government at a time when decisions are being made for the year ahead. Guide those with difficult choices so that resources are used fairly and funding be seen to be openly used to help those most in need. Be with our King and his family and give them strength to face whatever lies ahead. We ask your blessing on all those struggling at this time, the National Health Service, the police, the prison service, and education systems. So many have problems of limited personnel or finance, and all seek your help. Guide our church here in Scotland, as it also goes through a period of change, where numbers are sinking and presbyteries having to make drastic decisions about superfluous buildings and lack of ministers. Please may there be positive outcomes and change bring a new way forward. In this little corner of your world, help us to appreciate the fellowship growing here in our cluster as we come together to share talents and resources. Help us all to be aware of the needs of others struggling with poor health or isolation across this larger parish. Father, be with our own loved ones, families and friends, be they near or living in distant places. Help us to keep in touch, guiding young ones or following the lead of those who would direct us. In a moment's silence, let us bring these before you now. We commit them all into your loving care. All this we ask in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you very much indeed, Jan. We're going to sing our final hymn. We'll sing a love that sets all people free. Just a word of warning that the last verse is not as printed in the hymn books. The last verse is as printed up on the screen. So the very last verse, you'll need to lift your eyes from the hymn book. I must say it's been a delight to be standing here in front of this choir this morning who've been belting out some magnificent harmony, belting out, I beg your pardon, have been expressing melodically some beautiful harmonies. And it's been a real pleasure to be standing in front of you and be able to hear them so clearly. So do remember the last verse. If you're looking at your hymn book, the last verse is changed to what is the authorized version up on the screen. We sing a love that sets all people free. Above all else, know that God loves you. And in the strength of that love, go out to serve and love God and your neighbor. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest with you and all whom you love. Here now, further afield than already gathered and with their Maker, now and forevermore.